Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good. This morning we are looking in Hebrews, the race of faith is what the lesson is entitled, the race of faith. I want to begin off by reading the text here in Hebrews. I like this particular lesson to start off with just the full reading of Hebrews chapter 11. And then we get off into Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is who? God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that time, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendant shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheep's clothing or sheepskins, in goat skins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And now to our text here in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Amen to the reading of God's word. And amen to those that follow his word. This morning, for a little time, I want to talk about Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Here in Hebrews 12, 1, he talks about this cloud of witnesses. And we can think about the cloud of witnesses as being those that are mentioned in chapter 11 there. All of those different people that were named there. But you know, it's kind of hard not to think of all of the people that have been in our lives if we have lived the Christian life. Those people that have passed on before us. Those that have lost their breath and we have buried them. Those people that were faithful to God. Those are those of the cloud of witnesses that we are familiar with. But here the text is talking about people that are found in the scripture that were faithful to God. These were people of faith, weren't they? This is the cloud of witnesses that we are talking about here this morning. So the cloud of witnesses, these are people that had accomplished and have overcome challenges in their lives as we are dealing with challenges in our lives. These are people that we can kind of put in a place in our minds and hearts to look at. I say that the Old Testament is an example of people that were living real lives, that were striving to serve God. They fell short, but they got up and stayed committed all the way to the end. And they are an example to us. Amen? And so because of this, the Hebrew writer here talks about this cloud of witnesses. And because these people were faithful, there are things that we need to do in order to be faithful just like those folks were. And so the first thing that we need to do if we want to be like Abel, if we want to be like Abraham, if we want to be like Noah, we need to lay some things aside in our lives. Amen. Now, individually, we all know the challenges that we face. And maybe there's some people that are familiar with some of the challenges you have in your life. But I am reminded that we all have to make necessary changes ourselves. Your parents can't make you do what's right. God can't make you do what's right. You are responsible for doing what is right. Amen. And so we need to lay aside some things. Know the comparison to running. The runner who seeks to win does some things. There are some things you need to do in preparation for a race. A runner loses as much weight as possible without hurting performance. Are y'all with me this morning? They wear clothing that is light, and it allows for freedom and movement. Excess weight, chafing clothing, etc., can be the difference between victory and defeat. The same is true in the Christian life. We've got to get rid of the things that get in our way. We all are familiar with the sins. Amen? Right, do you know what sins are challenging to you? I'm sure there's people that might want to try to tell you what they are. But you know the things that are in your way. What's in the way of you being successful in 2024? Amen? You know what's been challenging you in this new year. And you need to put those things aside. And so we too must lay some things aside. He says, every weight, things which slow down our spiritual progress. All of those things we need to get rid of. Let me suggest some that some of you may have. Something like anger. Anybody dealing with anger in their lives? What about wrath? What about malice, blasphemy, filthy language? All of these things can get in the way of us growing spiritually. It slows the race down. Now, there's some of you that are runners, and you know what I'm talking about. You got to get rid of all this excess stuff. I used to be a runner. I don't look like a runner anymore. But try to race me. You'll see it. You'll see what happened. You'll see what happened. You'll see what happened. But this whole idea of getting rid of things. Let's look over at Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Let's turn over. Give you some scriptures to deal with. But we know that there are things that we need to get rid of out of our lives that are slowing our spiritual growth down. But look at what the apostle writes to the folks in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, he says here, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. These are the things you need to put aside. You need to put those things aside. Such things make running the race of faith difficult, if not impossible. The sin which so easily ensnares us. Any and all sins should be laid aside. All of this stuff we got to lay aside. All of us know what we struggle with. I don't need to tell you what you struggle with. You know what you struggle with. You know what's in your way. You know what's challenging your faith. You know what's getting in the way of you going to the next level in your development as a child of God. All you got to do is look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Have that conversation with yourself. You know, we have two eyes, but our eyes, unfortunately, are always looking at everybody else. Our eyes are always looking at everybody else. We're always somebody else's best critic. We are. But that's the way of the world. That's the training that we have. We've always looking out But it's time for us to do some self-observation. We need to look in the mirror. We don't need a full-length mirror because it's not our shoes, it's not our legs, it's our eyes that we need to look at. But the proverb writer says that the eyes are the way that we can see the soul. Isn't that right? The soul, you, who you are. This is not who I am. This body, I didn't choose this part of me. I didn't choose this muse. I didn't choose my muse. But who Solomon really is, people say, oh, he got a smile. But who is Solomon on Friday night? Who is Solomon when he's having challenges? Who is Solomon when he's walking down the street? Who is Solomon at the bank when it's time to do business? We need to inspect ourselves and be serious about this because people are depending on us. We might be the best Christian that somebody knows. And if you're the best Christian that somebody knows, would they want to become a Christian? And so it's very important that we this morning look at ourselves and really, really be honest with self. Amen. And make sure that we make the necessary changes. Because like I said, everybody else can tell you things, but you really know, you and God know what things that you need to change, what things are trapping you up, what things are tripping you up in your life, in your walk with God. What are those things? You don't need to tell me because I'm already praying for you. But you're the one that can make those necessary changes in your life. If you really value your relationship with God, you're already working on those things. Amen? And we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here to help you. We're here because we have things we're struggling with. Amen? There are things that get us entangled. The one thing we always need to remember is that Christ died for every one of us for some sin or another sin. Amen? And that's why we got to have humility, because humility gives us the ability to look at ourselves and make the changes that are necessary. Amen? So with the full assurance of faith and with every hindrance laid aside, we can run the race of faith as God intended. But as we comprehend the true nature of the course set before us, we can appreciate the need for the element of endurance. Because living a Christian life is not a sprint. And I can tell you, I was never a sprinter. It's too fast for me. I'm a long distance runner. Endurance is something that you need in the Christian life. Amen? We don't just come up out of the baptistry and all the way to heaven. That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be nice. I would have been gone a long time ago. Amen? I was baptized into Christ in 1986. It was July 6, 1986. I was just 12 years old. Man, that would have been a long time ago. Wow. Some of you guys weren't born in 1986. But when we talk about this word endurance, the race of faith is a marathon, not a sprint. It does not require one quick burst of energy in which the race is soon over. This race requires a sustained effort over a long period of time. There are times when you're running this race that you fall down and you need a friend with you to help you get up sometimes. Sometimes you scuff your knee so bad. Anybody remember that? When they were running so fast, you ran faster than your legs could support and you scrubbed your elbows and all of that. Ooh, I can feel it now. I don't want to do that again. But that's how the Christian race is. Sometimes you fall and you scrub, as we say. You fall down, but you've got to get back up. Sometimes you're crawling on your knees, But you're focusing and you're moving forward in this fight of faith, in this race. Endurance is a necessary quality, brothers and sisters. Jesus often taught his disciples concerning the need for endurance. Sometimes he called it patience. But there was a necessary need for endurance. You've got to endure. Paul wrote that eternal life would be given to those who were patient, who would continue in doing good work and seeking glory and honor and immortality. We look over at Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's turn our Bibles there, if you will. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Romans 2 and verse 7. Here he says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. He says, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's what we need to do. We need to persevere. We need to persevere. We need to keep on keeping on. But another thing that we need to do is we need to focus on Jesus. We need to focus on Jesus. Why did we start this race in the first place? Why did we become a child of God in the first place? Because we were sinners. Jesus died, but we were sinners and we needed a Savior. That's why we started this journey, this race in the first place. Because we were sinners and we needed a Savior. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't do enough good on our own to please God. And so that's why Jesus had to die. That's why we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we started the race in the first place. Because we were sinners, we needed a Savior, and we wanted a relationship with God. And in order for us to get a relationship with God, we had to obey the gospel. Amen? And so when we obeyed the gospel, we were buried in Christ in the watery grave of baptism, and our sins were washed away, and we came out of that liquid tomb a what? A new creature in Christ. Somebody ready to serve Jesus for the rest of their lives, no matter what. Amen? Dedicated all the way to the end. There might be challenges. Like I said, you might fall. But Jesus is our focus. Amen? Our focus must be upon the Lord as we run the race. We might glance at others, like we talked about Hebrews 11. We even talked about some people that we've known in the past that were warriors for God, that had strong faith, people we looked up to, but they are no longer with us. Amen? But we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. As suggested by a formula for spiritual success, if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look up. Look up. And if you want a scripture for that, look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Here the writer says, if then you have been raised up with who? Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things where? Above, not on the things that are on the earth. And the reason why we need to look to Jesus, for Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that's the provider of our forgiveness of sin. John says the propitiation for our sin. But he's the one that takes care of us and get us in a relationship with God. I don't know how he's doing that. But my faith is, and the faith in him is that he is going to do that and has done that. I'm in Christ. I know I was baptized in the water, but I've never seen heaven. I've never seen God. I've never seen the right hand of God, but I have faith in Jesus. Amen. I know that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega, Revelation 1:8. He has blazed a trail for us by having run the race himself. We look over at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Let's turn our Bibles over there. Hebrews chapter 6, looking at verses 19 through 20. He says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. And so Jesus is the one that we need to focus on. We must consider Jesus when we're living our lives. We must consider Jesus when we're struggling in our lives. When things aren't going the way that we want them to go, we need to focus on Jesus and remember why we are running this race. Amen? That we shouldn't turn back to the fleshly life, but that we should keep focusing on Jesus. And so we must consider Jesus. So running the race of faith requires both negative and positive elements. Negatively, we must lay aside things which would hinder us. Positively, we must keep our focus on Jesus, who has made our salvation possible. In both cases, the Word of God, the Bible, is crucial, for in it we learn what sort of things we must lay aside. For in it we learn about our Lord, what he endured, how his example should inspire us. Have you lost your endurance this morning? Have you grown weary in running the race of faith? Let the Bible help you examine what baggage should be left aside. Let the Bible help you learn about Jesus, whose own example can encourage you to continue with perseverance. And this scripture you might want to keep with you this week, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. I pray that this sermon has been encouraging to you all, because I'm always excited about preaching God's word, because I know by every word that I say, I'm getting closer to heaven. People ask me why I smile, because I'm in Christ. That's why I'm smiling. I'm excited about meeting my Savior one day. And I hope you are excited about meeting him one day as well. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, today's the best day to make that change. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not a child of God and you haven't obeyed, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. You can watch the Super Bowl on record, amen? But we got plenty of time. Whatever your need is, won't you come forward as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.